Good morning. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Each day is a gift from you. I pray that your Spirit rest upon us and speak to each and every one of us the message you want to convict within our hearts. I pray, Father, that you'll use me as your mouthpiece to deliver effectively your word, and may you speak to your people in a very special way despite my imperfect delivery. May today's message be pleasing to you and glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for always hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, I wanted to ask a question. What is the most valuable thing in the entire world to you? And what would you be willing to do almost anything for? Would it be concert tickets or the latest video game? Or how about the iPhone 5? Recently, I read a story about a 17-year-old boy who was so desperate for the iPhone and the iPad that he sold his kidney for $4,000 in order to get the money to pay for the iPhone and the iPad. To us, that may seem a little extreme, but to him, he counted all the costs and thought this was absolutely worth it. Actually, one thing that the article wrote afterwards is that, so after he got his wonderful iPhone and iPad, and after his surgery, he ended up having health problems because of his little procedure. So I guess he's regretting his decision after that. Anyways, so would there be someone in this world you'd be willing to give up everything for? Your job, your friends, your family? What if that person was the name of Jesus? So today we'll be talking about the ultimate cost of following Jesus. So before we begin, I thought we could talk about a little bit of the background leading up to the events of before the main passage. So chapter 8 is the last half of the book of Mark, where Jesus is going to begin his journey to Jerusalem before he will soon be crucified. So in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, Jesus asked Peter, who do people think that I am? So Jesus says, Peter says, people say that you're John the Baptist, Elijah, or maybe one of the prophets. And the reason Jesus was asking this is because it's not that Jesus didn't know who he was, but he wanted to clarify to understand what the audience thought who he was. And then Jesus asked Peter, who do you think that I am? Peter said, Jesus, you are the Christ. So there's three parallel passages talking about this same passage. So the next one is in Matthew, and Peter says, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Or in Luke chapter 9, verse 20, he says, the Christ of God. So although Peter does accurately say that his name is Christ, Son of God, which means Messiah, Jesus rebukes him and tells him not to say anything because he does not yet understand what it means to be the Messiah, and he still had to explain to him what his mission was here on earth. So Jesus rebuked him and told him that he does not yet have the things of God, but still has the things of man. So, and though Peter said he didn't want him to die, Peter was sincere and loving Jesus. He was very emotionally attached to Jesus, but he lacked discernment and did not yet understand what God's will was for Jesus. So if we all turn back to our Bibles, to Mark chapter 8, verse 34, we'll see that Jesus called the crowd to him along with all his disciples. So it's clear that Jesus intended his message for all the audience and not just for the disciples as well. So this will bring us to the first point for today's message in understanding the cost of discipleship. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus began by describing the cost of discipleship with the word if. This would mean that he's offering free will and the choice to follow him and the conditions of what it really means to follow Jesus. Jesus repeated in the sentence here where he's saying, come after me and follow me. He's emphasizing the importance of following in his example. So when it says deny yourself, denying yourself is not the same as self-denial. So self-denial is anybody can say, I'm going to give up my lunch money today, and I'm going to give it to somebody who's in need and buy them a warm meal. That's not the same. Denying yourself means forgetting oneself or losing sight of a person's self-interest. So in this passage, Jesus is actually referring to the full surrender of ourselves to Christ in order to do his will and surrender our lives on God rather than ourselves. So an example of such obedience is when Jesus called the first disciples to him. As soon as Jesus called him, they dropped everything in order to follow him. And another remarkable story of obedience would be the blind man. This is the story of a blind man named Bartimaeus, where after Jesus healed his eyesight, he immediately followed after him. So we can follow along on the screen. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his eyesight and followed Jesus along the road. The disciples and the blind man did not hesitate, doubt, or question to follow Jesus willingly and humbly. They surrendered themselves to follow Jesus with all of their hearts. They didn't say, let me think about it, or hang on, Jesus, I want to go home and pack up my toiletries and my suitcase before I can come follow you. They dropped everything, including their lives and their family, to follow Jesus. It's like sometimes when we accept Jesus, we wait many years to get baptized. In Acts chapter 16, there was a jailer, and he asked Paul what he needs to do in order to be saved. And he said to believe in Jesus, and immediately him and his family were baptized after hearing the gospel through Paul. So the first step in denying ourselves to follow Jesus always begins with submission, because that is the only way to surrender ourselves to Christ and to determine his will for our lives. So what does it mean to take up his cross and follow me? So we learn from the Bible that in the Roman times, the cross was an instrument of death. It was cruel, painful, and unrelenting. Let's just pause for a second to understand the difficulty of the task required to be crucified. The person condemned will be forced to carry the cross on their shoulders, and the cross would weigh about 130 kilograms, or well over 300 pounds. And then, once they arrive to the place of execution, their wrists and their feet are nailed into the cross. and their death would be slow and agonizing. They could die anywhere from hours to days. So if we have this picture in our mind of what it means to bear a cross, this means the willingness to suffer and die for the Lord's sake. The cross symbolizes the necessity of total commitment, sacrificial obedience, full submission to the will of God, and willingness to suffer to the point of death. I'll repeat. The cross symbolizes the necessity of total commitment, sacrificial obedience, full submission to the will of God, and willingness to suffer to the point of death. So of the three Gospels where this parallel passage is located, only in Luke does he emphasize the word daily after he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. So the word daily here means continual action every single day. So when Jesus says to take up his cross daily, he's obviously talking about spiritually, because obviously no one can be crucified every single day. So Jesus is saying to have an attitude of submission. The cross in this case meant death to self and resurrection to life in God. So when Jesus says, take up the cross daily and follow me, he means to follow in his footsteps by his example, where he was demonstrating with his own life what they needed to do. Jesus was the ultimate example of someone who denied himself from stepping down from heaven and obeying God's will for his life. So why must we take up our cross and follow in the example of Jesus? So in verses 35 to 37, Jesus explains why we must take up our cross and follow him, because following Jesus leads to life. When Jesus says, whoever desires to save this life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Jesus is not telling every single one of us to become a masochist. But if we try to preserve this physical life by denying Jesus, we will lose our eternal life. It's like the four stages of a butterfly. Each stage is in the process of growing and becoming the butterfly that it was created to be. But could you imagine if the caterpillar was too scared to move forward to become the butterfly? They were scared to die. If you see in the PowerPoint in stage number 3, you'll see that that stage is actually the most significant, where inside the cocoon, the caterpillar is going through a full body transformation, where the old body is being changed to the new body, where the old has gone and the new has come. So we're just like the butterfly, where we are being transformed and given a new body and mind. We are now part of Christ's body. It's important to keep in mind that we can't embrace our old life while we pursue our new life. It's either one or the other. It's like the butterfly can't be a caterpillar, and the caterpillar cannot be the butterfly. So we must give up our old lives and our old ways of thinking and embrace the new life. Paul says it best in Colossians 3, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So Jesus goes on further to explain why we must take up our cross in verses 36 to 37. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is literally saying, if we continue to pursue after our own worldly desires, the ultimate penalty will be giving up our eternal life and sacrificing our soul at the cost of temporary things that are here today and gone tomorrow. So an example of someone who pursued wealth and denied Jesus would be the rich young man in Mark chapter 10. I have the scripture up on the screen for you all to read, so you don't have to turn. So scripture started on, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and your father." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth, and the positions, wealth, and success of this rich young man had become a higher priority than God, and incidentally, the very thing that was hindering his obedience to God. So when Jesus is talking about denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him, he isn't just saying, "Okay, I took time out of my schedule, I volunteered at TEC, I was nice to my neighbor, I'm good to go." As a follower of Christ, we are to have an entire attitude overhaul, and not just looking at taking up our cross like checking off our checklist, like brushing our teeth or changing our socks. He's saying that this is a full mind renewal, where as soon as we have salvation, we have a new mind and called to a new standard of living that we did not have before. And denying yourself and taking up your cross daily means your mind is now focused on what God wants and surrendering to his life, your will, every single day. Paul says back in Colossians 3 that we just looked at that we're called to set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. God doesn't care how much tithing you give on Sundays. He just cares about the conditions of your hearts. And to deny yourselves means picking up our cross to follow in Jesus' footsteps. It means loving our enemy, as Pastor Tony taught last week at retreat. It means forgiving our brother who has offended us. It means to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So this past week was the 11th anniversary of September 11th. That'll be the day that we'll forever remember where terrorists planned three separate suicide attacks on the United States. Two planes flew into the World Trade Center in New York City. One plane crashed into the Pentagon in Virginia. And then one that was targeted for the Capitol building in Washington. The hijackers were actually derailed from the passengers who took back control of the plane. I will forever remember that day because that day I went to work like any other day, and I had a radio that was located under my desk, and I was listening to my regularly scheduled program, and then it was interrupted by an emergency broadcast to say that a plane had just crashed into the World Trade Center. At that same time, a woman by the name of Jeannie Bracca was also turning on the TV, but she was checking the weather like she does every other morning. When she saw that a plane had crashed into the World Trade Center, all she could think of was her husband, Al Bracca, who worked on the 105th floor of the first tower at the World Trade Center. In 1993, Al had actually survived a bombing of the World Trade Center where he worked already. And he actually helped a lady escape from the building, so she did not expect anything less than that from her husband. Little did she know he would never be coming home. About a week later, Al's body was found in the rubble, like many other bodies. Al's wife, Jeannie, and their son Christopher were devastated. At that same time, stories began to trickle in from coworkers, acquaintances, and friends. They all received a last email, a last phone call from someone that they were talking about how there was a man on the 105th floor by the name of Al Bracca who was leading them in prayer. This came as no surprise to Jeannie, because for many years, Al was saying how unhappy he was at his job environment because it was so contrary to his Christian values. But he absolutely felt that God had called him to this workplace, that he was to be the light in the darkness. So he refused to leave. And he paid the ultimate price of his life on September 11th. So what happened was, when they realized that there was no escape, Al decided to share the gospel with over 50 coworkers. And because of his faithfulness, many people may have come to Christ. He was a remarkable example of someone who took up their cross and followed Jesus. He followed in his example with submission, sacrifice, and in the end, it led to life. In Revelations, it says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Wherever you are in your walk with God, if today God is prompting you to count the costs of following Jesus, whether it is to love your enemy, forgive your brother, or finally surrender your life to God, I pray that God will give you the courage and strength in order to deny yourself, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus with all of our hearts. Let's pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will penetrate each and every person in this room, and you will speak truth into their hearts to any promptings they may have received during today's message. I pray that you will continue to speak to everyone here and give them courage, strength, and faith to respond to your promptings, because we learn from today's message to obey you means counting the cost by taking up our cross to follow you. God, you have given us the gift of free will, and I pray that your Spirit will enable us to make the decision to willingly give our lives to you with all of our hearts and never look back. We thank you for hearing our prayers and pray all these in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.